From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well and maybe a little, if you went to San Antonio, maybe a little more recovered. I am better than I was yesterday. I'm still tired, still drained, and it's didn't have anything to do, as far as I can tell, didn't have anything to do with the ball game. But it was rough the day after and then making the trip back. But we're here. We're in the studio. Dan is on his way in. Drew at the controls. And we are here to talk sports with you for the next couple of hours. Quite a bit to get to. Speaking of basketball, the Florida Gators, your national champions, an unusual game last night. Between the Gators and Houston. You know, Houston fans have got to be just sick because they led and they led and they led and they led. I believe it was right at 1 minute combined that Florida led in the ball game. But it doesn't matter as long as you lead at the end. And that's what Florida did after Houston could not get a shot with 15 seconds, 14.6, I guess it was. To go in the ball game, couldn't even get a shot to try to tie or win the ball game. So, congratulations to the Florida Gators, in what was not the most beautiful basketball game to watch last night. Dan.
No, but I still, you know, competitive to the very end.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
You can admire if you're a fan of on ball defense. It might have been your type of game, right? But it wasn't as though either team was threatening to get to 90 points or anything. Houston's record, it was a Houston Cougars kind of game.
Oh yes, it was.
And they led for most of it, like you said. But there's something to be said for Florida's ability to come back from the dead, Bill. There's something for Florida. I mean, I said it. You know, Houston was in big trouble against Duke, and they punched their way out of the coffin and got back up and won the fight. For Houston, you know, for Florida, it kept happening over and over again, right? You know, the Texas Tech had them in real jeopardy, and I mean Auburn led for a big chunk of the game in the Final Four. So this Florida team, you know, they had, and ultimately, I think Coach Golden said they had Walter Clayton, and that was. In you know, time and time again for this Florida team, that was a trump card. That was the high card in the deck, and sometimes when you've got that card, you know, it makes your moves a little bit easier.
Well, we talked about it yesterday, and we're right now going to welcome in the guy who was there courtside for it. A tremendous season for Auburn basketball, the best basketball season ever for Auburn basketball. A disappointing ending,
and
when you get to the Final Four.
And a tremendous season for our next guest.
Absolutely.
A tremendous season for our next guest.
Voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us here as we've got there's Auburn baseball in less than an hour,
yeah.
But Andy going to spend a little bit of time with us. Andy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, guys. It was a great experience to be at the Final Four. And, yes, it was a disappointing end to the season, but just to piggyback on what Dan said, I mean, that's three straight games that Florida has come back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're down 10 with, 3 minutes to go against Texas Tech in the Elite Eight. They're down 9 early in the second half against Auburn, and they're down 12 in the second half last night against Houston. And while when you think of Florida, you think of that offensive firepower that they have with Walter Clayton Jr.'s and Martin and Richard and Condon and Hauk, who really is a good player inside. And then you've got the attitude with Chinyelu as the rebounder. But, you know, in all three of those games, they were able to clamp down defensively on an opponent that allowed them to get hot offensively. And, you know, they end up winning all three of those ball games and win a national championship. So Houston's got to be kicking itself right now, though. I mean, that game was there for the taking for Houston last night. Walter Clayton Jr., to that point, with Houston up 12, to that point, Walter Clayton Jr. then asserting himself offensively.
Yeah, he didn't have a field goal until then.
And you notice that he started it by getting to the basket, two conventional three-point plays, and then he had an enormous three from that right wing on a curl that he seemed to hit about 13 of those against Auburn, especially in the first half of that ball game. But that's a really good Florida team that can really play some good defense. And their ability to come from behind in the three biggest games of the season for them is the reason that they're the national champion today.
Clayton seems to be the kind of superstar that makes his teammates better, right? Like, he's the kind of guy who he knows when to score and when to assert himself and when to try to get things going with his teammates on the wing or in the post. If Hauk goes on to a great basketball career, I think we saw the glimpses of it at first in the two Auburn games, right? The way he played against Broome this season really certainly opened my eyes to how good...
He is surprisingly effective on the low post, and can play a physical brand of basketball. Not as physical as Janai or Cheney, for that matter, but his ability then to stretch an offense by getting to the outside and shooting the three. He really is a three-way scorer for that Florida ball club. And you know, while they lose some guys on the perimeter, those big guys are coming back
right
for that Florida ball club. So. But Hauk, to me, was a difference in both of the Auburn games this season. Certainly the one at Auburn back in February.
Right.
He surprised me with how effective he was in that ball game, and he was like that really for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
for Florida. And getting Han Logdon back helped them because it just gave them one more guy of depth on the low post, and they could rest Condon, they could rest Chinyelu, and you've got a 7'2" kid out there playing that you know decided to come back after his injury in the SEC tournament a year ago.
Now, I mean, and again, it was an amazing season, an unbelievable season. Going to be really interesting because there are a lot of pieces that are going to, a lot of spots going to have to be filled for next year.
Well, and the most obvious spot, we were talking about this in the car driving up here to Atlanta, is they've got to get some bigs.
Yes.
Because you lose all your bigs. Adarin will be back next year. They redshirted him this year, and he will fill a role for Auburn on the inside. But Auburn, I think Auburn's got to get at least one more four, and certainly a five. And there's going to be some availability. There's going to be some guys out there. And one of the things I think that appeals to some coming in on that transfer portal, not only is Neville Arena and the home court advantage that Auburn has, and I think Auburn has taken advantage of its NIL money as well, but is also the way that they have developed their bigs
right
of late.
Oh, absolutely.
Look at the guys that are going to be, you know, that are playing in the NBA, are going to be playing in the NBA, and what were they like when they came to Auburn, and what were they like when their career was over at Auburn? And I think Auburn has that history with this staff, this Bruce Pearl staff, that to develop those big players, you know, a Chaney Johnson. Certainly, a Janai Broome has helped Auburn immensely this year. Dylan Cardwell was such a good defender for Auburn and really had one of his better offensive games in the semifinals against Florida on Saturday. But, you know, all of those guys developed in their careers at Auburn. And I think that's got to – that I hope that appeals to some other bigs that are out there coming in on that transfer portal.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch because there are players – you know, there's so many players in the portal and making decisions. And now, I mean, we'll see how quickly Auburn can fill these. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I have full confidence in Bruce Pearl and his staff of doing it. They are amazing at being able to evaluate and find the pieces that fit with what they need.
Well, they've already done it. I mean, they've the JUCO Bashir that comes in from Wyoming is a sharpshooter for the Tigers
right.
coming in. And then the kid that announced last week and signed with Auburn from Central Florida was the Big 12's leading scorer a year ago and can play the 2-3 and the 4 for Auburn and probably play a little bit of 5 as well if need be. So it's just I think they have helped themselves at the 1, 2, and 3, but I think they've got to continue to get some help at the 4 and certainly the 5 for this coming season.
You know, I mentioned, you know, you can think Chad when it comes to the incoming UCF transfer, Hall, and someone mentioned earlier they thought there were shades of Samir in his game, like a bigger Samir as far as his ability to switch positions, and it seems like he'll fit right in because Bruce has found, you know, those perimeter players that can help you go a little bit small by playing the 4 at times. They've been, you know, they've been gangbusters for Bruce Pearl so far. I think, you know, it sounds like he's Auburn's kind of player, and to be the leading scorer in the Big 12 with how many teams there are in that league these days, Andy, right? Like that's no small feat.
No, not at all. And I think he could play a little more physical branded basketball too. I mean, when he came out of high school, he was 300 pounds. He was a post player even at 6'7". And now he's playing at 225. So I think he has played a physical brand of basketball in his career, and I think he'll continue to do that even if he plays the 2, the 3, or maybe even the 4 at Auburn. So I'm very intrigued by that signing for Auburn. I did not see him. I'm told that he was there in San Antonio last weekend watching his future teammates play.
Hey, there were a few Auburn people there, Andy.
Right.
What a crowd.
Yeah. It was a great crowd. It was great. And listen, it was well attended for all 4 of the schools at that Final Four. And I saw tons of Auburn people on the Riverwalk and when we did Tiger Talk and at an event that was held at the Briscoe Western Art Museum that was hosted by Tigers Unlimited. And then there, I mean, just at the Alamo Dome for that game. It was we got there early, which is no big surprise for the game itself. And we walked back to the media room, and Charles was on a cart and jumped off the cart, and we all talked as we were walking to the media room. And then who was walking down the hall with Charles? It was James Worthy walked by. And then at halftime, I went back to get a glass of water. And as I'm walking back out, there's Cameron Boozer. There is Carmelo Anthony and Dr. J.
Wow.
That's when you know you're at a Final Four, when you see the likes of those guys just walking behind, and you're walking by some of the greats and, you know, Hall of Famers in basketball. So that struck me. You just don't see that every day at a college basketball game.
No,
you see the likes of those players.
No, you absolutely don't. Well, again, a great season is done, and now you jump right back into baseball, and a big matchup tonight as Auburn, now having won 3 of its 4 conference series, goes out of conference to take on another top 15 team in Atlanta in Georgia Tech tonight.
Tech is 25-6. They're ranked number 15 in the country. They literally just got back from a sweep at Stanford over the weekend. And they're 11-4 in the ACC. I mean, they're as you typically see out of a Danny Hall team, and especially here in Atlanta, this team can hits and hits with power. And the ball is flying out to right tonight, which is it's a short porch out there in right field. It's 350 to the power alley in right field here in Russ Chandler Stadium. So Christian Chatterton will get the start tonight for Auburn. It'll be his first midweek start.
Mm-hmm.
They've held him out from his Sunday or his Saturday start, as it would have been, this past week, and they're going to give him a couple innings tonight. I think we're going to see a bunch of pitchers for both of these teams tonight. Not only Chatterton, I think we may see Armstrong tonight. I think we may see Murphy tonight. We may see Ben Shore tonight. There may be some others. I mean, this could be one of those nights where you see 6, 7, 8 pitchers for Auburn, and from what we're told, we may see the same thing from Georgia Tech tonight. But Tech comes to Auburn in a couple weeks. But this is the first of 2 straight midweek road games for Auburn. The Tigers here tonight and at Jacksonville State next Tuesday. Of course, in between, big LSU number 2 in the country comes to call in this Friday at 6.
Yeah, and it is a big weekend. I mean, the Fan A Day is coming up this weekend. There's an awful lot for folks to be doing this weekend in town.
Well, let's see. Baseball is in town. Softball is in town. Mm-hmm. Women's tennis is in town. And the A-Day festivities on Saturday. So looks like the weather's going to cooperate. So looking for a big, big weekend, and we'll be right there in the middle of all of it.
Andy, I know you got to run. I want to break a little bit of news while we're online with you. Since you just mentioned women's tennis is in town, how about we've got head coach Jordan Szabo tomorrow here on the drive good. In studio at 5 o'clock. He's going to come from down under and come visit with us for a little while with the big matchup this weekend.
And Coach Szabo has done a great job with that team. Now, listen, I think he was left with some talent, but that team has you just take a look at the wins that that team has, top 10 wins that team has, and he is not only and Auburn will host the SEC tournament next week at the Yarbrough Tennis Center, but they're setting themselves up to host in the regional, and if they continue the way they are right now, they're setting themselves up possibly to host a super regional for the first time in school history. So you'll be entertained by Coach Szabo when he's with you guys tomorrow. And he has a very, very good team that is at home this weekend for its final two regular season matches. And then, as mentioned, we'll host the SEC tournament next week.
Yeah, looking forward to that as well. Andy, did we miss anything? Is there anything else you need to hit as far as the Auburn Network?
My podcast this week is with my basketball partner, Randall Dickey. So that's the Talking Tigers podcast. We're working feverishly to try and get Coach Vickers on the podcast, learn more from Auburn's new women's tennis coach, Auburn's new women's basketball coach. But that's in the works at this point. But you can listen and watch Coach Dickey on War Eagle Plus with the Talking Tigers podcast. We're on the air coming up. I don't know, a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I guess I need to get out of here.
Andy, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day. War Eagle.
Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us. Yep, they're less than 30 minutes away from airtime for Auburn baseball over on Wings 94.3, Tigers and Georgia Tech tonight.
And he didn't lord it over me, but Andy does have a WNIT championship ring because he was part of that Auburn team that made the run in 2003. Same year Auburn went to the Sweet 16. That was the last time before Bruce Pearl ended the drought. Auburn's last Sweet 16 was in the 2003 in men's basketball, was in the 2003 NCAA tournament. And in the women's game that year, Auburn's women won the WNIT. Andy's got a championship from that. I got close this weekend to that WNIT.
Yeah, you got to the game
championship, but no, it was great to visit with Andy. And again, what a season. He had a tremendous season, and Coach Randall Dickey deserves a big shout out too, right, Bill? Because stepping into that chair must have been a chair. You know that position pretty well yourself. You're familiar with
nothing like that. I mean, stepping in where Sonny Smith had been.
Yeah, this season too, right? Mm-hmm. You think about the attention on you spend a lot of the years the number one team in the country, and it's Andy and Randall just. They immediately
great chemistry.
Yeah, they immediately meshed, and I thought it was obviously the dynamic was different, right? Because it's not and I think that's got to be like it must have been so tempting to want to be Sonny Smith, right? Like I would think like you're stepping into that role, you need to be. And I think Randall Dickey's specialty is not folksy one-liners that can really stick in your head on top of the top tier basketball analysis. He breaks it down, and I think makes I think he explains relatively complex things in a way that is user friendly, and he's really leaned on that. You can tell that he's coached young people.
Oh,
right, because
yes.
He's had to introduce concepts, and he's excellent at that, at teaching. And I mentioned it on the Observer podcast, and I think it's also true here. I would love a visit with Coach Dickey sometime on the show.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, I think it'd be really interesting to talk to him about.
Yeah, we ought to work on that.
Yeah,
I mean, he would be really good.
I think he'd be in general finding some way to talk with him sometime because he's got
a very interesting background.
How about this? He's got stories, right?
Yes, he does.
Ferguson traveled with him this year and got to hear some of them, and I'd love to get to tap into that well of resources as far as what Coach Dickey he brings to the table. So, yeah, we might need to work on that sometime.
All right, we'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Open up the phone lines. We'd love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
So come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. 25 minutes after 4 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining us in the first segment of the show, getting ready to broadcast Auburn-Georgia Tech baseball, which will be coming up. We'll keep you updated on that while it's going on.
I feel bad.
You can listen to it over on Wings starting in about 25 minutes.
We had to hold Andy for a couple extra minutes, right? You know, he was trying to get off, like, right exactly. But it's a very busy time, right? Like, we have a... between the Final Four and the start of the basketball offseason and the baseball season here. So thankfully Andy was willing to play ball with us a little bit longer.
And you know, the spring football portal is about to open. Right, you know, next week.
Spring game
after the A-Day festivities, if you will. I'm not going to call it an A-Day game now.
Yeah.
A-Day festivities. I like the fact that it's now – Fan, it makes more sense to have Fan Day in the spring.
Do you?
The weather is so much better for Fan Day than when you have it in, you know, July or August.
If you were in charge, if I gave you the magic wand here, Bill, where are you recognizing the Auburn basketball team this weekend amid the schedule of events? And there's probably more than one answer here if you want, but like the team that
I do it at A-Day and at baseball. Sure, Saturday.
Saturday night at baseball?
Yes.
You probably do something? Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
I think they're probably
I do it A-Day, and then I have Bruce throw out the first, or the team, you know, multiple guys throw out the first pitch.
Yeah.
On Saturday night,
and if you wanted to find a way to work them onto the softball complex as well, on Friday or Sunday, understandable too. I think that mm-hmm. If you wanted to go for the triple crown there and have them recognize at all three,
I'd have them everywhere.
Yeah, if Chad or Denver wants to throw out the first pitch, or Janai wants to throw out the first pitch at softball too, but certainly I think football, and I think you're absolutely spot on. That football and baseball this Saturday.
Because, like I said, it's basically Fan Day, and fans could be there. I mean, that would be an attraction, especially since it's free admission. You know, fans there. I wonder if they might work. You know, since they're going to be autographs and things available, would it be cool to be able to see the lines for the basketball
team? Would you toss out there? Like, would you announce now that the basketball team will be recognized? Like,
I absolutely would.
Yeah, I'd say, like, hey, right now, if you're thinking about coming on Saturday, if you're on the fence, you know, we're going to also recognize, you know, mm-hmm. Bruce and the coaching staff and the basketball program for their successful year two.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Maybe Coach Vickers, you know, gets the microphone for a little while as well, because I'm a huge fan of...
Way to get him in front of a big crowd. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And John is up first. Hey, John.
Hey guys, had heard a stat on Hall, the transfer from UCF, that I thought was really wild, and just wanted you guys' opinion on that. This year, he had 8 games where he made at least 10 free throws.
Wow!
As a team, Auburn had that twice: once with Broome and once with CBM. And
you mean had a player that did that?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's been a while since I can remember an Auburn player with that much ability to go downhill and get contact. And he's an 81% career free throw shooter. It's been a while since I can remember Auburn having a player with that in his back pocket.
Well, Auburn's got 3 or 4. They had 3 or 4 on the roster this year that had those kind of numbers. But
I'm saying that could drive with that efficiency.
An inside guy with that kind of – yeah, it has been a while. No, you're right there.
But anyway, I found that fascinating. One question for you on Auburn basketball.
Mm-hmm.
With the days after Thanksgiving, when do you recognize the Final Four achievement this fall?
That's an interesting thought. You know, maybe it's the first conference home game.
Georgia?
Maybe it's the opener.
Yeah.
You know, but it's pretty deep into the season by the time you get to.
Yeah, I think you do it before you do it before you're into full fledged basketball practice.
Interesting. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that's a good question. I had that one. I mean, I'd have to think when the best. Let me look at the schedule.
I would warn on Hall that I would imagine that in Bruce's system, and I could be wrong. But his usage was off the charts for UCF this year.
Well, it's sort of like
Miles.
Yeah, absolutely. Just Miles like Kelly Miles was Kelly. The guy for yeah. Georgia Tech a year
but
ago.
His usage was off the charts. I mean, you look at the number of games where he played at least 35 minutes, mm-hmm. right? It's like that's tough to do. Not unprecedented, not impossible, tough to do in Bruce's system, generally speaking.
Tough to do in the SEC.
Tough to do in the SEC. I think ideally, you know, they'd probably like him, depending on who else is on the roster, they'd like him at that 22 to 28 minute sweet spot and you know able to let him rest and recover while someone else is contributing, which brings me to the question, Bill, and I know we got someone else holding on, right, Drew?
Right. But Yellowhammer.
Can I ask though, what are you thinking the mood is regarding Chad and his potential return for Auburn?
I would think Auburn would be open to that.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, would you not?
No, I mean, I know that, you know, they're...
I mean,
they're...
people were bummed out after the tee a while back, but I mean, Chad played that semifinal game with a torn ligament in his thumb, and I mean, he was playing his back end every...
There were moments...
What little there is of it, he was playing it off.
There
I'm
were
serious.
Moments in the first half where he was...
He was it for
where
Auburn.
He was the best player on the floor, no question. And the reason, he was out there, and I, you know, I my theory with the Final Four too is beyond that Clayton had the high card or that Florida had the high card with Walter Clayton. It's Janai and Chad. I think we're running on adrenaline early.
Yep,
and it wore off, and it was real tough to keep going in the same. I mean, Chad has 15 of his 18 mm-hmm. in the first half.
Janai had 12 of his 16.
And it's just, you know what? How many open looks did either of them really have in the second half either, right? Like it was harder to get your looks. And when Chad got them, Chad would get open looks, but they were deep,
yeah,
tough looks
right.
that, you know, where he had to go bombs away. And he was hitting a couple of them in the first half. But based on the way he's, like the fighting spirit he's shown at times literally, for Auburn,
he brought so much energy. I know people, you know, you hold your breath sometimes. You wonder about, you know, not crossing the line, but he gave Auburn an edge, and I think it was a positive edge for 99% of the time.
Yeah, I mean it's not our call, but I'm in team
bring him back.
Sign me up. Yeah. Sign me up for another year, Chad Baker Mazar too.
334-321-1390. Let's get to Yellowhammer. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. I just want to see if I'm overreacting, but I've seen some Final Fours more in a couple of decades. And this one was, in my opinion, the most entertaining, the best one I ever saw.
I thought the semifinals were two outstanding games.
Yeah, last night, and it was tough. I just like with Bill, you know, I was dealing with the 1-2 punch of the Troy loss and then the Auburn loss about an hour later.
Yeah.
So
and then that long trip home.
Yeah, sure. But even like I had trouble getting into the Duke game.
Yes.
Like I'm you know I'm struggling
oh,
to
me too.
Yeah, I'm struggling to get into the Duke Houston game, and then I see what the score is with about 6 minutes left. And I see Houston hit the three, and I go, okay, well let's see what we got going on here. But it's Auburn Florida was a, you know, I think that when you had the rare tournament where the clear top four teams going in were the Final Four, and the sort of the dream matches you thought you were going to get on Saturday night were the games you ended up getting. Like I think both games delivered on that front, and then last night, like I understand if people thought they were going to get more offense in the national championship game, But that's not Houston.
No. Houston, that's, if there had been, it wouldn't have been. Houston may not have had a chance to
win. That's not Houston. Houston's willing to grind the clock and test your endurance. There's a crazy stat going around, Bill. I don't know if you've seen this, that I believe every player on Houston on scholarship can run a 6-minute mile.
Yeah, I saw that.
Or under.
I saw that. I heard that on the broadcast the other night. As a matter of fact, they were saying around 5.5.
Yeah, it's under 6 minutes is either the team average or like the slowest of the 12 or something like that, which I think is a testament to their conditioning, which probably helped them win the Duke game there in those closing minutes.
Right.
And helped them keep that game from being the track meet that Florida wanted it to be, although the Florida Gators did come back and win it all at the very end.
Well, about Duke, I heard that they were playing with three freshmen. Is that right?
Yes, that are projected to be three of the top 10 picks in the upcoming NBA draft.
Oh, you mean they're just one and done freshmen?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to be a player playing 30 minutes a game for Duke, that's probably as a freshman. That's probably about as good as you need to be, because Duke can go out and get a fourth-year or fifth-year senior who is going to be a proven commodity at that level. And if they're going to choose you instead, yeah, you're probably going to be that level of player. I mean, there were only, of the top five teams in the SEC, there were two freshmen in the rotation, and it was Tahad and Filon. Those were the two true freshmen that when you think about Tennessee, Florida, and A&M, those are veteran teams that don't mess with true freshmen at all. Alabama had one true freshman playing meaningful minutes. It was LeBaron Filon. Auburn had one. Tahad Pettiford, that's it. I mean, Duke had more true freshmen in their rotation than the five best teams in the SEC combined. But like you said, they were three of the, they're three of the top picks in this draft.
Well, if they're all leaving, I guess I don't get to think, wow, Duke's going to be something next year.
I'm sure they will. They'll go out and replenish. They already have in the early signing period. So that's something they usually don't have trouble bringing in good talent.
Well, they got the brand name, that's for sure.
That is true.
I mean, they're still waiting to go all the way post Coach K, and we appreciate the phone call, Yellowhammer. Yeah. But like, you're right. I mean, that feels like a program. In an era where we have no idea who's going to be really good, I know that one of the basketball analysts I follow said, based just on underclassmen who could return, Purdue is probably a top three team, because Braden Smith leads a crop of guys who have the options to go into the portal or go pro. But if Purdue returns their underclassmen, their potential minutes, they could be a number one or a top three team in the preseason next year. And I think it was Sean Paul who also felt that Louisville, with what Louisville could bring back from that team that Auburn almost saw, that Louisville team that was eliminated in the first round. Just because a team was eliminated in the first round, though, Bill, the people might say, well, Louisville shouldn't be thought of too highly next year because they went, they only made it as far as the round of 64. Florida only made it as far as the round of 64 a year ago. Sometimes it takes a year of seasoning.
Hey, what did Auburn do?
Auburn was eliminated. That's exactly right. So a couple of teams that have been mentioned as, just based on the underclassmen, they look like they could return. Those are a couple of teams that look like they could be they could be real players next year.
And Yellowhammer, just to give you a little idea, Duke is I believe they're the consensus number one recruiting class in the country.
Sure.
For right now. So they'll replace those guys pretty darn well. I believe they've got two or three 5-stars already committed, and others that they're still trying to bring in.
And I tell you, Kentucky's going to be trendy too.
Yes,
Mark Pope is making big moves in the portal. Diabate, right? Going to, did you see that, Bill? Alabama's Diabate choosing Kentucky in the portal. And they also landed Quintance. They landed. I mean, so they've couple of big moves.
That's a guy Auburn was involved with as well.
Yeah, a couple of big pickups early for Mark Pope, who you imagine would have has the Kentucky the power of Kentucky basketball behind him in order to make these acquisitions.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. I know we're running a little behind, but I want to get your calls in. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
888-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 18 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls. Yeah, I'd love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, you want to talk some basketball, your thoughts on now that the dust has settled and the basketball season is done, the Gators, the national champs, and I mean, sort of fitting, Auburn, you know, Dan, it really sort of felt like Auburn peaked with a few games to go in the season. They just couldn't ever quite get back to that level that they had there just before the end of the season. And then Florida, from that win at Auburn on, was the best team in the country. And that's what we said going into the NCAA tournament and throughout the tournament. And the Gators were able to capitalize and win their third national championship.
Right, and it's an Auburn team that played at such a high standard amid – injuries to Jahni Broom, right? When you think about conference schedule.
Multiple injuries.
But you're right. You know, with the Kentucky game, you know, that clinching of the that week at the end of the regular season when Auburn clinched the SEC regular season championship. You know, from that point on, it was you're right. It felt like Auburn was trying to recapture a lot of what worked earlier in the season when it felt so effortless early on, and they still made the Final Four and still beat, I think, Michigan and Michigan State convincingly to get there. Yeah. Right, you think about the second weekend where Bruce Pearl, crazy to think, Bill, Bruce Pearl still undefeated in the Sweet 16 as Auburn men's basketball coach.
That's right,
undefeated.
I hadn't thought about that, but
undefeated,
right.
In the Elite Eight as Auburn men's basketball coach. Now he's been there twice, and both times Auburn has delivered some of their best basketball. When that 2019 team had to face down North Carolina and Kentucky, and this Auburn team taking down the best the Big Ten had to offer in order to get there. But the run ends against Florida, who ends up winning the national championship. How about this? Second time Auburn has lost to the eventual national champion
in the
Final Four.
They've gotten there,
which is kind of like third place.
Yeah, I guess.
Kind of like,
you know, they used to play third place.
They used to do a consolation game, yeah, which I think would be entirely for gamblers.
Yes.
Now, and it would be.
I don't think it was back in the day.
No, I don't know either, but I think it would be tough. It would be tough to get the two teams that were defeated on Final Four Sunday to get up for another game, I think, on Monday now.
Yeah, things have changed. Things have changed. Back then, it would be. It still meant something to be third.
Tell you what,
that doesn't mean anything except to be first.
You could maybe.
Second sucks.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what. You could maybe get the four teams that lose in the Elite Eight to come play a tournament because they get to go to the Final Four. Like, if you wanted those four teams to play a fifth place tournament.
Oh, you can make the Final Four games.
Yes. And then you have what? So Michigan.
You can play fifth through eighth.
Well, yeah. What was it? Michigan State, Arkansas, or it was Texas Tech. Michigan State, Texas Tech. Tennessee and Alabama, right? You could bring the four non-advancing Elite Eight teams. That maybe, because then they get a trip to the Final Four as part of the whole deal. I think a third place game would be a tough sell in this day and age.
It's hard for people to wrap their heads around the fact that for years there was the consolation game played before the national championship game.
Yeah, now you have kids going in the portal within hours of the game being over, for a couple of these
teams lost, I'm gone.
So it's, I mean, and you know what? And understandably, considering that the activity, you know, the portal is worrying with or without you, right? Like and that was something, if we hadn't been pressed for time with Andy, Bill, I would have loved to ask, like, the fact that there's no break. Right, the fact that you go from—I mean, you were coaching in the Final Four, and there's no time to grieve that loss before you have to get back out there and start not only re-recruiting Todd Pettiford or Chad Baker-Mazzara potentially back to this roster, but also going out and recruiting players to bring in for next year's team.
Oh yeah, I mean it's amazing Auburn was able to get Keyshawn Hall. I mean, just being able to zoom enough to try to compete with the teams that are done when you're out there trying to prepare for the Final Four. So I think it was a very good job by Auburn. We'll see. Like Andy said, I think Auburn needs a couple of bigs. Even with A.D. Scott back, I still think they need a couple of bigs and maybe three for next year. We'd love your thoughts. What do you think? You want to talk about anything else? We got Auburn baseball, football. We can take a look ahead toward the weekend. I mean, it's not going to be in a spring game, but it still will be an opportunity to see a lot of players that you haven't seen in an Auburn uniform this Saturday. So we can talk about that as well as we continue here with the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one here on this Tuesday afternoon with Bill and Dan. Drew at the controls. I guess we're here for a while, huh?
As far as like travel,
and yeah,
yeah. I don't have anything on the schedule at the moment until you know. But when's media days?
That's Atlanta. Yeah, it's a while.
You gonna go this year, Atlanta?
I don't know. I may.
It's All Star Game week too.
Oh, that's right.
It's Atlanta. That's Atlanta hosting the Home Run Derby, the All Star Game, and SEC media days. I believe second year in a row that the same city will host both SEC Media Days and the MLB All-Star festivities in the same town.
It seems to not just be a coincidence.
Interesting. But that's something we'll start putting that together, I guess, this summer. But yeah, until then, it's pretty quiet over, as far as I've done plenty of traveling of late, so I'm okay sticking around here for at least a little while.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Again, this weekend, I mean, it should be a fun weekend. Auburn baseball has won 3 of 4 conference series. They were swept in Athens, but they've taken 2 out of 3 in the others. So they are 6-6. Hard to believe. SEC baseball, the conference season reaches its midpoint this weekend.
Does 10-20 get you into the SEC? Get you into the NCAAs this year?
Maybe
from this SEC
maybe
schedule.
Maybe when you look at the number of teams, I think there's 6 or 7 teams in the top 10.
Yeah,
7 SEC teams in the top 10. Auburn's number 9 right now. Auburn sure doesn't want to go 10-20. They're 6-6 right now.
Obviously,
I mean,
but I'm just thinking, what's the cutoff?
Usually, it's 13.
Since it's Masters Week, Bill, what's the cut line?
For the
SEC teams if they're going to make the NCAAs?
I would think you'd want to be 13 or above.
Right, 11-19, you could be sweating it out.
You could make it.
You could make it potentially.
Yeah. I mean, because your strength of schedule is going to, your RPI is going to be ridiculous.
Texas went 6-12 in the NCAAs and made the NCAA tournament because the SEC was so good in men's basketball this past year, and because they're Texas. I would think if you can get to double digits, you're in play, and if you can get to 12, you're starting to feel really good about your chances. And like you said, Auburn has 6 wins, 4 series in. Auburn has won 6 of the 12 games out there against some top level competition. And if they win a game or two against LSU, right? I know Derek did not want to talk about the LSU game. Or the LSU series at all. Remember,
talking
to Fabian yesterday.
Because he's got Georgia Tech coming up tonight. And I heard Jacob had Carson Myers on earlier today. And he's focusing. That's one of the things that Butch has really tried to pound into these guys. Let's do it. Let's don't go more than a game at a time. Let's go inning by inning, pitch by pitch. I mean,
and as
that's
much
what
as,
you've got to try to do.
As much as I think we would appreciate if they wanted to talk about the LSU game too, I think we understand the focus on the single game focus on the next game you've got.
You don't
want
to have happen like what happened last Tuesday.
Exactly. No, I don't know. I'm not. Yeah. So there's no judgment at all in there, even though I think, you know, we still wanted to ask the question and stuff. But it's it's a big, as important as tonight is, a big series this weekend with LSU, right? Because that's another team where...
Yeah, they're number 3.
Oh, and how about, hey, how does Sam Dutton feel, right?
Sam Dutton feels good that he's the Friday night starter for against a top 10 team
against his former team. Yeah, that is it. Almost like, you know what? Do you have to? And I would ask folks who have, you know, whether it's coaches or folks who have been on the mound themselves. Like, is that one where you almost have to? You have to make sure
he's probably got to ease it back a little bit. The adrenaline's going to be pumping so much you may overthrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you worry about him overthrowing in the first couple of the first couple of ABs because he's so fired up to face his former team, and you almost have to find a way to throttle down your starting pitcher in that situation.
All right, we're halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive. Jake Crane should be joining us at the bottom of hour number two, but until then, we'll keep the phone lines open, 334-321-1390. Come on in here on the Tuesday Drive.
ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. A beautiful day. After the rain that we had early yesterday, it has really cleared off and got a little breeze. Don't see as much pollen. Well, I hope maybe the rain got knocked a lot of it out.
Yeah, I give it a couple of days. Unfortunately,
I think stuff will grow back.
Yeah, it took biblical rain over the last couple of days.
We had some.
Yeah,
we had some serious rain.
Yeah, in order to get us there. But yeah, hopefully everybody's
pool's about overflowing. Seriously.
And I think this is supposed to hold for another couple of days, right? And
the weather.
I think that's what I saw on the highs and lows. Lows
are going to be in the 40s or lower 50s for about a week.
Yeah, how about Saturday? We're looking clear with a high of 64 and a low of 46.
That is great.
How about that for a spring game? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could be talking about it being 61 and clear when the stadium opens up for the game on Saturday. Just absolutely perfect. And you know what? The kind of weather, if you're trying to recruit to Auburn, right?
Oh yeah.
I know that's probably not as big a factor anymore with the amount of money that's being kicked around, and probably at some point need to talk
about
it. Hey,
but it doesn't hurt if it's a beautiful day when you go visit.
Trying to learn more and more about House versus NCAA, right? And trying to like make sure that we can talk about that
I tried to read something about it yesterday and I didn't I'm not really sure that came, I know what it what
you came
what
away means. more confused than you did when you started it. No, I get that. So I'm trying to do my best to do my homework on that, but with the other factors at play at recruiting, you're right. You know, can't hurt that you're trying to recruit to Auburn, and it could be just absolutely astonishing this weekend, 60 and clear. And like we said, I hope you know folks are listening, Bill. I hope folks maybe if you got the opportunity to honor the basketball team to get a crowd into Jordan-Hare this weekend on top of what you're doing on football.
Perfect opportunity to do so during the A-Day festivities.
Have you sent your credential request in? Are you good to go?
I did that last week.
All right,
to Shelley.
All right, cool. Me too.
When she first put it out, I said definitely want to be there. So.
Save our seats.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine. But free admission and autograph session with the football players. Again, like we said a while ago, I wouldn't mind seeing the basketball players get added to it. I mean, imagine the length of the lines to get some of the players. 334-321-1390, that's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hour number two of the Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And let's get to the Drive hotline, and Mitch gets us started. Hey, Mitch.
Hey guys, after Florida's third national title in basketball, I got to thinking, I believe Florida is still the only school in the SEC that's got the trifecta in men's sports. I'm pretty sure Texas, Oklahoma don't have it. I guess maybe since 1990 when Spurrier came in, you think Florida's probably the most successful athletic department or athletic teams in the SEC?
I mean, it's
in the SEC, yes.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're weighing the national championships equally, you know, the answer is probably
Florida generally won the Bernie Moore All Sports Trophy.
Yeah, but I could see a lot of if you offered athletic.
But if you look at Alabama's
national
championships,
that's what I was
going to
say. I think if you
probably weigh a little more than the others.
I think if you offered a lot of athletic directors, like you could have. You could have any of, if you list the accomplishments of what Florida has won, if you list the accomplishments of what Alabama has won, considering the number of football national championships, if you gave either of those options to athletic directors, you know, say, hey, your next 30 years could contain this, it'd be hard to turn down double-digit national championships or close to it in college football, right? Like, that would be a very difficult thing to even though you do get to win a handful in men's basketball and a baseball national championship as well. And I guess, you know, so yeah, big picture, probably, you know, the answer to the best program of the last 30, 35 years, all sports in the SEC, probably Florida, but Alabama did win those football titles, which, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of,
they seem to count a little,
a lot of pro. Yeah. Those rings are a little heavier.
Okay. Well, I guess I'd slightly disagree. I mean, I think I would rather have an athletic department where a lot of sports compete for national championships, because I know Florida's won softball. Mm-hmm. Their women may have won soccer, gymnastics, you know. Yeah, the football national championships are good, but I mean, you know, if you can get a basketball one here, you know, here and there, or a baseball one here and there. You know, I think I would enjoy that more than just, you know, football national championships. But
okay. No, I think there's something to it. Although I would also point out, it's been 20 years since Florida's, right. I mean, you're coming up on 20 years since Florida got a national championship in football, too. Right. I mean,
right. Tebow, 2008.
The end of the Tebow career was the end the end of that. So it's been like that run in, you know, when in the mid 2000s with Meyer and Donovan, when you had a year where you won the national championship in both sports, like no one's ever gonna, you know, that topping that, you'd have to also win the College World Series to top that, right? Like you'd have to win both championships and the College World Series. Hard to argue with, you know, with any programs ever had a better season than that. And the fact that you've now got, you know, something that a lot of programs can't claim. We were talking about a little bit on the phone yesterday, Bill. You've got a national championship won by more than one head coach with your program. Yep, you look at Florida, right. It's like you've won national championships with Billy Donovan and Todd Golden. You know, I think Kentucky is the only other program in the SEC that can say we've got national championships won by multiple head coaches in our history.
How many other SEC schools have won national championships in basketball?
Arkansas's got one,
right?
So,
I mean, it's tough enough
Am I forgetting somebody?
I
don't think Texas has ever won the national championship in men's basketball.
Surely didn't do it as an SEC school. By the way, Mitch, let's see. Florida claims 42 national championships, 3 in football, 2 in basketball. And then they also have national championships. Don't say how many of each. Men's, women's golf, gymnastics, soccer, softball, men's and women's swimming, men's and women's tennis, men's and women's track and field, and baseball.
Ooh,
so, yeah, okay. That's pretty strong.
That is. Now,
like I said, they usually win the old Bernie Moore trophy.
And they're heavy on upperclassmen this year in men's basketball, but I wouldn't expect them to go anywhere. Right, no. I mean, between, you know, with Todd Golden at the helm, with the resources available.
Golly, why would they? Yeah, would it be a struggle for them to get players?
Yeah, with the resources available to Florida men's basketball, with the young players they already have who could come back. You know, I think this could be the start of something really special in Gainesville.
Okay, let's see. I had one more question. They don't do the All Sports Trophy anymore, right?
No,
Bill?
No, they don't.
Okay.
I wish they did, but I mean, the thing is, everybody just doesn't have the same number of sports that they compete in.
Because I think, is Florida kind of like Stanford? They got like 30 plus?
They compete. Yeah, they complete. It's around 30. In most SEC schools, it's closer to 20.
Right. Okay. Okay. What did Walter Clayton end up with points wise last night?
Let's see if I can find the box
double
for
digits?
Him. Yeah, I thought he got the 10, but I'll check
he
the
box.
He may
I'll have
check
gotten
the
double digits. I remember when
he had the most in a tournament ever by an SEC player. I know that was the stat that that I saw recently, that 134 points in the entire tournament, which is a new record for any SEC player. Obviously, the more games you play in the tournament, the better chance you have of breaking that record. But after he had 34 in the Auburn game, what did he finish with? I think it's 10. We'll see. See if we can pull this one up.
Baseball is any of the LSU series going to be like on regular TV, or am I going to have to watch it on ESPN?
That's a good question. Let's see. I think I can.
Clayton finished with 11-7-5.
11. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's actually now I didn't come close to the total score, but the ESPN Second Chance bracketology or whatever, I finished first.
Yeah, I mean this isn't a. I mean, this feels like a bracket. A year where if you didn't take too many chances, and you liked Florida to go all the way, like I could see people being. Obviously, there isn't a perfect bracket out there. Although I did see that in the women's game, there was a bracket in. I think it was the ESPN bracket contest. Someone got 31 of the 32 round of 64 games right, and every other game correct in the entire tournament. They were one game in the. I think they had San Diego State or South Dakota State winning when their opponent won in the first round. Got every other game. This person got every other game right in the entire women's bracket. Nearly a perfect bracket on ESPN. So what's the word on Auburn baseball on TV?
Yeah, not good news for you, Mitch. They're all three on SEC Plus.
Oh, I'm sorry. Since I'm a DirecTV subscriber, I get it for free. So
oh, okay.
I can just watch. I can watch it on my computer. So, all right, guys, that's all I got.
Where all right, Mitch. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind, sports wise?
We get some players to talk to tomorrow, right?
That is right.
Auburn football, and then a viewing window
early Thursday morning, and then Hugh Freeze following practice at around 10 o'clock.
Yeah, a little breakfast with the team Thursday morning as they'll be on the field bright and early, and then a day on Saturday with comments from Hugh Freeze afterward. What do you think they're looking at this week? Like, are there positions where they're still? Because we talked about it going into spring practice. A couple spots where they're going to be evaluating and deciding whether or not they need to be shopping in the portal when it opens back up
right.
Next month.
Defensive line, I believe they still are probably looking for some help there.
This feels like a big spring for Blockton and Bobby Jamison Travis, right?
Oh, it does. I think they're starters. I think
that's
those
what
guys
I mean.
Are starters right now. But I think they're looking for guys who can help them.
And neither
who can compete with them for playing time.
Those are two guys who did not go through the offseason last year as starters.
Right.
Either, right? Like they were at best they were in the battle to get on the field.
Malik was just an early enrollee going through as a freshman.
Yeah, but he started early. Right. And we said, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? Where and even though Auburn was cycling defensive linemen, and even though I think Auburn, you want to be careful about this, but I think Auburn maybe thought they were going to get more production out of the upperclassmen defensive linemen they went out and signed.
Agreed.
In the portal last year. I think based on playing time, you can sort of figure out like who they thought delivered and who didn't. I think this year they decided not to invest heavily in upperclassmen 1 year left college football players. We'll see what they do in the spring, but it feels like they really want the young guys they have in-house to get as many reps as possible and as many chances to show they deserve a spot in the rotation, and you don't have to go bet heavily on experience again at that spot.
I haven't really heard of concerns about disappointments of players that have been out there playing. It's just been at times they wish there were more of them. It's sort of like the situation at quarterback. I mean, I think they are ecstatic with their quarterback situation. I mean, you've heard all the talk of Deuce Knight. Jackson Arnold has quietly, I believe, been everything that the coaches have been wanting to see, he's given them. But Deuce Knight has been better than they thought a freshman could be. I think they feel like they've got a great situation there at quarterback, but they need a third. And I think that's sort of the situation at a couple of other spots. Xavier Atkins sounds like he's had a good spring at linebacker, the LSU transfer. I think, though, they feel like they need another linebacker. They like some of the young linebackers they have, but there just aren't enough of them. I think that is, to me, the biggest difference in the feeling I've had this spring. It's not so much, boy, we're hurting at this position. It's like, we're pretty good at this position, but we need a little more depth.
Depth being a bigger issue, yes, than needing starter quality, right, production. There are issues where, and look, it's also a problem if the only thing you've got at a position is your starter, because, yeah, what happens if this or that. But it's probably a better problem to have than we've got a bunch of guys and
we don't have a starter.
We got a bunch of guys and none of them look like a starter.
Right.
It's better to have a starter in that situation. But you're right, there are a couple spots where I think Auburn would feel a little bit better if they knew. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of last year when you had McLeod, and then you were sort of thinking, well, after McLeod, it's a lot of question marks, and you had to go get Keyron Crawford
right,
in the spring. I wonder how many positions where Auburn is shopping thinking, we kind of know who the starter could be, but we don't know exactly who plan B is in the event that something happens to the starter. They'd love to have a better plan B in-house, and maybe that's what they're going into the portal to get.
Sounds good. Yeah, that sounds right to me. 334-321-1390. Let's get back to the drive hotline, and Connie is up next. Hey, Connie.
Good afternoon. I have to admit, this is not my stat. I was just out walking listening to the Observer, and they mentioned something, and I had to come home and look up all the schools. Since Auburn was in the Final Four the last time, there are only four schools who have been there twice.
Right, from 19 through 20.
There was a year where there wasn't a Final Four.
No Final Four, right, in 20.
But So
six NCAA Final Four tournaments. So that's 24 teams.
And Auburn is in the select group of teams that
has been there twice.
That
has anybody been there three? I don't think.
I don't believe anyone's
been there three. Yeah. The record is two.
Right.
UConn twice, because they were back to back. And amazingly, Duke and Houston.
Yeah, Houston. I know this is Houston second under Coach Sampson, and I wonder if is this Duke's second Final Four under Shire? Or is this? I think this might have been his.
No, it was Coach K.
Last time Duke was in the Final Four, it was Coach K's last NCAA tournament. So,
and also point out that there's only been three teams in the SEC: Florida, Bama, and us twice.
Right.
We can be disappointed, but it just goes to show how hard it is to get there.
Oh, no question about it, Kyle.
Sure. To think that Pearl is one of, nothing against John Shire, but to think Pearl is one of only three coaches, right, to make two appearances in the Final Four
in six tournaments.
Yeah, I mean it's remarkable, and he's doing it. You think about UConn and Houston, right? He's doing it at a place without that level of basketball tradition. Like, is that safe to say, Bill? I mean, Houston has. I mean, UConn has, if you're going by my buddy's definition of a blue blood, right? Houston, UConn's got multiple head coaches who have won national championships, and a couple guys who have won multiple national championships as head coaches with Hurley and Calhoun.
The other thing that Justin mentioned on the Observer that I just listened to was that when we played Florida, they played for 40 minutes, and when Houston played Duke, Houston played for 40 minutes. And do you know how long Florida was in the lead last night?
About a minute.
Yeah.
Right at a minute.
64 seconds.
Yeah. I knew they said 17 seconds, and I looked up, and there was 46 point something. I didn't recall if it had been tied after that, so I knew it was right at a minute.
They don't go to the scorecards in basketball, though. It's not a matter of...
No, it doesn't matter.
Unfortunately, I was kind of pulling for Houston because that was the one team we beat.
Yep, you're right. Me too.
So I was pulling for them, but... It was a very sad ending.
Oh, it was.
Felt bad for those kids, but we were in Neville Arena in the rainstorm Sunday when they got home, and I was thrilled to death at how many people showed up. It was great.
Yeah, that's a shame. I mean, it's a shame we couldn't be there. We were still on the way back, but but yeah, it sounded like it was great.
And we've been saying, Connie, that team will be acknowledged a lot more, I think, moving forward, you know, by this athletic department. And yeah, I think it absolutely should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks a lot for your show, guys.
Hey, thanks, Connie.
War Eagle.
We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Don't forget, Jake Crane joins us at the bottom of the hour.
Observer, listener, too. Yeah, appreciate that. Good stuff, Connie.
All right, come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And yes, Auburn baseball got underway and off with a bang. As the first three batters reached base and Cooper McMurray cleared them with one swing, a grand slam, and Auburn is up 4-0 as they bat in the top of the second inning in Atlanta against Georgia Tech.
Yeah, despite our efforts to distract the team from the game tonight and just focus on the LSU series this weekend, Auburn is off to the races in Atlanta, 4-0 after Auburn gets the first three guys on base, and then how about our guy? How about Coop with the the scoop?
That is a team-leading eighth home run on the season for Cooper McMurray. The game tonight, I think, is very important for young Christian Chatterton, the starting pitcher for the Tigers tonight. I know they want to get a look at quite a few arms. Don't expect him to go too deep, because if he pitches well, remember, he's the guy, he was your Sunday starter from the opening of the season through the first few SEC weekends. He was your Sunday starter, and he'd had a couple of really good starts. Then he had a couple of rocky ones, was bumped and moved back to tonight for the midweek game. But he has all the stuff. There's no question about that. He had a 1-2-3 first inning with a strikeout, two groundouts. If he can give Auburn, I think, a couple of more solid innings, he'll probably be in good shape to be able to go, you know, later this weekend against LSU.
Right, and I think Auburn would love to be able to have more arrows in the quiver, right, against LSU, as far as, you know, how many options Auburn's going to need against that team out of the bullpen. You know, I think, you know, gets back to what we were saying earlier, Bill, that question for that pressure on Sam Dutton, on top of the normal pressure of being a Friday starter in the SEC, right, that you're now going up against your former team in a pretty big game for your new team. Yeah, finding a way to just stay calm and keep keep producing the way he's produced this year, keep delivering for Auburn. That's going to be a real challenge, not just for him but for the coaches. You know, keeping him in the right frame of mind going into that game Friday, and then you know you're really hoping. You'd love a long start from him on Friday to save the bullpen, right?
Oh yeah, I mean yeah, of course last Friday. He gives them a complete game. Excuse me. Turns out to be a 7-inning shutout because Auburn was able to run rule Alabama. But, yeah, if you can get 6-plus out of Sam against LSU on Friday, I think that's a great start to the weekend.
Yeah, you're going to need those guys Saturday and Sunday. And so the idea that you can get a big start out of Sam on Friday, that'd be huge. And for LSU, if you can get to Sam early. Right, and Auburn has to get to the bullpen. You know, that can influence the entire series. So, yeah, big, a lot of weight on the shoulders of the Outlaw, Bill. Let's see what Sam Dutton can do this weekend. But Auburn with the early lead against Georgia Tech in Atlanta.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, and let's get back to it. And Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. Well, I was going to wait to make this call tomorrow because I was just leaving a place where is a facility that a lot of the LSU athletes go to. That's been a lot of talk, is the Sam Dutton talk, and who they'll face on Friday night, by the way. And they think they know everything about him. And somebody that I just left said he doesn't have a breaking ball, and I said, have you watched him pitch lately? And none of them have, but it's going to be really interesting. They're swinging the bats okay,
mm-hmm.
but the LSU has pitched lights out. So, and I agree with you, Dan. That's kind of difficult I'm glad it's in Auburn and not in Baton Rouge. when Dutton's taking the mound for the first time against them. So should be very, very interesting weekend.
Hey, in my travels these past couple of seasons, and because Troy tends to recruit out of the Sun Belt, I've seen it a few times where someone's facing their former team, and it absolutely is. You know, you got to find a way to harness the right kind of intensity out of a player mm-hmm. in that situation, on top of whatever scouting edge the former team maybe has. But I think the battle's going to be between Dutton's ears. Right, like finding a yep. way to finding a way to be at his best on Friday night.
Well, from his ears to his arm, and where the ball's put, can't afford to make mistakes. And don't forget that there's a former Auburn player coming.
Yeah, back. I was gonna say, it looks like Chris Stanfield doing pretty well as the Tigers center fielder.
He looks goofy in yellow. They call it gold. That's really yellow.
Yeah.
He looks goofy.
He's hitting 327, though, so, I mean, he's off to a good start as well.
Well, they hit him in the nine hole, and they call him the second leadoff, and that's when Johnson talks, that's what they always say, it's my second leadoff. And if you got a nine hole hitter hitting in the 320s, you've got something that makes your lineup difficult to deal with. That, along with his speed, not very many balls hit the ground at Burtman Field when he's in center field.
No, I understand.
So you feeling better, Bill?
I'm just tired. I'm really tired.
He's gutting through it, Tex.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to offer to y'all need to set up dinner, and I was going to buy, but I think I'm withdrawing that offer.
No, that's all right. I'm
still sick.
Yeah. Well. I'm honestly not terribly hungry, so. I'm ready to go.
You probably
crash.
Will be by Saturday night. It would be Saturday.
Well, yeah, I might. I hope I am by Saturday. If not, what a heck of a diet I've gone on.
Okay, so what's the deal? I haven't had an opportunity to keep up. Explain to me what it's going to be like trying to get to the baseball game on Saturday.
A mess. That's good. Well, I mean, you know, all the A-Day stuff will be over earlier. I mean, since the ball game's not till 6:00. But I'm not really sure how the traffic and everything is going to be routed. I haven't seen anything
yet. It could be just a busy sort of night in Auburn in general too, with stuff going on. But I would think that if you're showing up, I would think that the bigger concern is where you're going to park for the A-Day stuff right before kickoff there. If you show up in the hour and a half before that game gets going. But in the, I think there should be spots available for baseball.
Yeah, I'm more worried about where the parking's going to be for baseball. I'm not a big fan of spring games, much less of spring practice with some scrimmaging in it. So if I really need to go see them, I can arrange for that to happen.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I mean, I just like that they might as well just make this fan day. Fan day, and you get to watch them practice a little bit, but the main thing is you get to meet the players because there's 35 new guys.
It's a fan fest, and it's for fans other than Tex. It's for other fans.
I love being around and meeting all the new guys, but it's you really don't get to learn anything. That's the reason I've kind of always talked about going somewhere and playing somebody. For, you know, a game where you play your first teamers in the first quarter, second teamers in the second quarter, and everybody else in the third quarter, or play your kind of first and second team together in the third quarter, then play everybody else in the halfway through the third and the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I even liked Tex when it was sort of understood that, all right, you're going to see Auburn starters a little bit in the beginning, but this is largely a chance for the walk-ons who otherwise never play in front of a crowd at Jordan-Hare to get to play some contact football against each other. Yeah. But even it's sort of gone away from that a little bit.
Yeah. Will there be any contact?
I'm sure there will be. I don't think the quarterbacks. I mean, but yeah, I'm sure there'll be contact.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I may end up going. But I also have somebody that will be with me that's not too fond of that either. So I can't see her wanting to go through both. So
well, it shouldn't last that long. That's the good thing.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Tex, we got
to
run.
All right, guys, take care.
Bye. All right, yeah, we are behind. Got to get to our bottom of the hour break so we can catch up with Jake Crane on the other side here on the Tuesday Drive.
ESPN 1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. I think we're about caught up after our travels back on Sunday. Dan from Buffalo and I from San Antonio. And we're here in the studio, and we're going to head to the phones and welcome in our regular Tuesday afternoon guest at this time. That is Jake Crane of Crane & Company. Hey, Jake.
Hey, guys. Appreciate y'all having me. I will go ahead and tell you, I'm in the car, and I've got my three-month-old in the car seat in the back. So if she gets upset, not much I can do about it. But I appreciate y'all having me on.
Hey, nothing like it. Last Friday, I did the entire show on the in a van from Houston to San Antonio with my 3-year-old granddaughter and 6-month-old granddaughter in the car at the same time. Oh. So no problem. The
clip. Oh, man, that sounds like a plot to a movie. That's pretty impressive. There.
No,
Bill.
It did sound like the Beverly Hillbillies.
The Clampett Mobile was rolling to the Final Four. You know,
Cameron's Clampets. I mean, yeah.
And with Auburn in the Final Four for the second time in program history, and we just had a caller point out, Jake. You go back to Auburn's first Final Four in 2019. You know, there was a year where the Final Four was canceled between now and then. But otherwise, you look and there have been six Final Fours, in those six Final Fours, only three coaches have been there twice. Bruce Pearl, yeah. Hurley, and Sampson is in a second one, or was in a second one until last night. You know what an incredible thing Bruce Pearl and his coaches have built, and they it comes to an end against Florida in the Final Four. But what a season!
Oh, no doubt. And I mean, the team that it got canceled on, that was the team with Okoro, right? I mean, that Auburn team, I thought had a chance, you know, but obviously nobody got a chance with that whole situation. But yeah, I mean, guys, you know, again, especially if you're older, I say older, I'm 35, but you know, if you've watched Auburn, I mean, I remember, you know, no offense to Simeon Bowers, I appreciate what he did with the program, but I remember when he was dribbling the ball up the court.
We've all three of us have been in our fair share of games at Beard Eves Coliseum where you could say they were lightly attended.
You could speak to folks on the other side of the court without having to raise your voice an awful lot.
Yeah, I mean that was the best chance you had to actually get in a game and play. No, it's incredible what Coach Pearl, what his staff has done, what the fan base. You know, the way they've attached themselves to this program. I'm as disappointed as any about, you know, losing in the Final Four. But if we've come to a point in Auburn basketball where we are disappointed after a loss in the Final Four, that is a high-class problem, my friend. And when you look at the company that Bruce Pearl and that whole, you know, program has put us in, it's absolutely incredible. It's mind-boggling. And to me, guys, you know, with all the negativity about Auburn struggling in the NCAA tournament since that 2019 run, I feel like this has really cemented Auburn at the top of college basketball, or at least in the conversation, that it wasn't just a fluke. This program is as elite as any out there. And I think it's going to be that way for a long, long time, thanks to, you know, his belief in Auburn and Auburn believing in him. It's an incredible accomplishment. And, guys, not only that, you know, you won the SEC and what people are saying, and I think the tournament validated, was the best conference in the history of college basketball, or at least in the KenPom era. And you won it and lapped people with a couple games to go.
Yeah, there's no question about it, Jake. Now, one of the things that we were talking about a little while ago, it just feels like Auburn sort of peaked, you know, when they wrapped up the SEC regular season with a couple of games to go. They couldn't quite get back to that. And then Florida, to their credit, from the Auburn win on, they appeared to be the best team in the league, and they showed it throughout the SEC and NCAA tournaments.
Yeah, you know, I hesitate, Bill, to use the term peaked. I understand why you say it, but I mean, again, you did make the Final Four, and Florida had to come back. I mean, every game Florida played outside of the Norfolk State game, I mean, the game was in the balance with 6 minutes to go. So I don't think Florida was playing as good as Florida was at points during the SEC regular season.
That's a good point.
Obviously, they did really well in the tournament. But I think at the end of the day, Florida was better than Auburn. I mean, they beat you in your place when you were playing really well, and then they beat you in the Final Four. As good as Auburn was, as elite as Auburn was, Florida was just better, and that you know, they're the national champions, and they deserved it.
Yeah, Jake, you know, there were times this year where Auburn had Jani Broome and the other team didn't have an answer. Right, and Bruce Pearl would tell you afterward, we had Lethal Weapon 4, and the other team didn't really have a way to stop it. And in the Final Four game, you know, it was Walter Clayton was the high card. Walter Clayton was the guy that Auburn didn't really have an answer for, and that's it's disappointing in the sense that you thought this team had a real chance to make the national championship game or win the national championship, but it's also, I mean, it's you. I think the point you made earlier, you're not at the point where the Final Fours are interchangeable, and you can just, like, if UConn's women's basketball team is there, right? Like, they're at the point where it's like, yeah, you know, it's a Final Four, but that's the standard, and it's almost disappointing. Like Auburn is still, it's still an incredibly special thing to make it this far, to win a region in the NCAA tournament. And yeah, I think Auburn's at the point now where you're not, you've elevated the standard to, you're not gonna rebuild. You're gonna reload. You're gonna go find a way to be competing for next year's title, even if most of these players move on.
Yeah, and you know, Dan, I will say, and to the Jani Broome point, I think one of the most disappointing parts was Jani Broome was cooking these cats in the first half. I mean, I know Walter Clayton was scoring. A lot of it was at the basket driving. But I was more disappointed in Auburn not finding a way to get Jani Broome the ball in the second half, and then the guards thinking they were the reason that Auburn was up 8 at halftime. That was probably the most disappointing part, is that you felt like you got beat by the one guy that you couldn't let beat you. Not that he couldn't have a good game, but he couldn't have an elite game. And then your elite player dominated them in the first half, and you didn't get him the ball in the second half, and you played undisciplined, and it led to turnovers. So that's probably the most disappointing part, I think, about that game. But I'll also say I was hurt more by the 2019 loss than I was this loss, because I think we were better than Virginia, and they didn't call the double dribble. And I thought the national championship game, if Auburn would have won against Texas Tech, I believe, I thought that was a winnable game, or a more winnable game than either Duke and maybe even Houston. And then again in 2019, we didn't know if we were ever going to go back, because we'd never been there before. So I was actually more disappointed in 2019, because I thought we were better than Virginia. Florida was better than we were. But on that same note, man, you got to find a way to get the ball to Jani Broome in that second half. If he just doesn't score because he's not making shots, or Florida doubled him and you're kicking it out and you're not making open threes. And I get that Florida did a better job of denying him the ball, but in that first half, the actions that Auburn was running were just beautiful in being able to get him not only the ball, but mismatches as well.
Yeah, and that's one of the things Bruce was talking about. I mean, you really couldn't expect to play any better than you did offensively in the first half.
No, and again, that's most of it was inside out. I mean, even at the beginning of the game, I mean, Jani Broome, just like he did in the Michigan State game, got a couple of touches and was able to score, and you had put Florida in a position where, like, they were having to make a choice. Either they were going to have to double him, or they were going to have to keep singling them and getting killed. But you don't have to double a guy that doesn't get the ball. So, and again, I know Florida did a good job denying Jani getting the ball sometimes, But at the end of the day, man, like there were times when Florida was dribbling down and they'd have wide open lanes to the basket, but they would still find a way to get Walter Clayton Jr. the ball. That's the only thing that worries me about Auburn's ability to win a national championship is that, you know, they'll play disciplined, then undisciplined, then disciplined, then undisciplined, and it caught up to them, I think, in the Final Four.
Still a great, great season for Auburn, as you said.
And I
agree with you. I mean, it did seem to hurt more in 2019. This one, it's not like it feels great or anything by any means, but you just have to sort of tip your cap to the Gators this time. I mean, they deserved it.
Oh, they did. And, I mean, if you look who Florida had to beat, they didn't exactly have a walk in the park through the tournament either. I mean, getting UConn in the second round, that was a tough draw. And then, obviously, Texas Tech, what they were able to do in the Big 12, which I thought was the second-best conference. But, it's just now that you've been back, and again, who knows? Will Auburn ever go back? I mean, I can't look into the future and tell you that. But this program has put itself to a point now where you feel good about Auburn having multiple opportunities to get back. And again, I mean, Bruce Pearl has elevated this program to the absolute top of college basketball.
Jake, so now basketball season's over. What's on tap at Crane & Company?
Oh, man, look, we're diving into football. I mean, it really never ends. But with spring practice, obviously trying to figure out, you know, who's going to win what job. I'm hearing really good things about Auburn on the line of scrimmage so far through spring, which outside of the quarterback position is all I really care about. So it'll be here before you know it. I'm really, really optimistic about the product that Hugh Freeze and them are going to be able to put out in the field this year. So we're getting ready for all that. Got a lot of other stuff we're doing, even outside of sports that we're excited about dropping. So we're easy to find.
Sounds great, Jake. You guys have a good trip. Appreciate you spending some time with us.
See you, bud.
Of course, guys. I always appreciate y'all having me.
Jake Crane, Crane & Company, joining us here on the Tuesday Drive. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center.